welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. We will have a short show today because we, like I hope every single one of you, will be down in Olympia at 3:30 p.m. on the north steps of the state capitol demanding that lawmakers give a hearing to each of the six Let's Go Washington initiatives. I've heard from a lot of you who are coming, and I really have come to the conclusion I think slowly over the last 10 years, but certainly over the last few months, that nothing in this state is going to change until the working class is just as loud as the activist class. It really is that age-old adage of the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And who has been the squeaky wheel for all these years that we've seen Washington State utterly go downhill? It has been the far-left activist class that has protested anything they can think of, has protested, you know, against the rich and Amazon. What happened? Well, we taxed Amazon and scared them off to Bellevue. They've protested against police. What happened? You had a fairly mainstreamed effort on the Democratic side to defund the police, to restrict the ability of police to hold violent criminals accountable. You name it. They have been the squeaky wheel. And if we want to make change in this state, we have to be the squeaky wheel. It's harder for us. We have jobs that we can't sneak away from in the middle of the day. We have obligations. We are living productive lives. But if we want change, we have to make time to do that. They have been able to push their version of progress through being active and through being vocal. So if we want to push our definition of progress, which is real progress, which isn't progress at any cost for any reason, then we have to do what those fringe activists have done for years. And so I hope you guys are going to join us today. I'll get to the details on the protest in just a few minutes if you have not heard them yet. I have to say, I continue to be shocked at how dismissive Democrats in Olympia are being about these initiatives, how truly condescending they're being. And we've heard a similar refrain over and over the first week of the legislative session. What did we hear from House Speaker Lori Jenkins? We heard that she believes that these six initiatives are just the efforts of one rich man to buy policy.
I'm very saddened when I think about why the initiative process was established in this state. To have a populist approach it was really like the big railroad barons that folks didn't want taking over the state, and they wanted the people to be able to legislate. So now what do we have is an ultra wealthy multimillionaire buying his way onto the ballot and putting initiatives on the ballot that are going to benefit his ultra wealthy status.
Imagine being saddened as the most powerful Democrat in the state legislature. Imagine being saddened by hundreds of thousands of voters in this state exercising their rights under the Constitution and coming to you and saying, hey, these policies are hurting our lives. Imagine being saddened by that. What kind of public servant is saddened by that? And those sentiments were reiterated this week by State Senator Emily Randall, who, keep in mind, also wants to be a congresswoman. She's running to represent the 6th Congressional District, a seat that we cannot let her get within 10 miles of, because she is also incredibly dismissive and condescending when it comes to the voters, her constituents, who have supported these initiatives.
I think it's really important to look at this effort to, you know, by the initiatives, to buy an election by one person, at an effort to pull us back into, holes that we saw in the last recession that we've only just started to dig ourselves out of and invest in communities.
Unreal. Imagine having a budget that has bloated to nearly double its size and you saying that these initiatives will take us back to what we dealt with during the Great Recession. That's insane. During the last recession, that's insane and unhinged and a flat out lie. But look, they're going to continue to use this narrative, which is not only a lie, but it is very condescending to people who sign these initiatives. It's a narrative that this is about Brian Haywood buying his way onto a ballot. It is true that Brian Haywood, a hedge fund manager, who's a very wealthy man, who started Let's Go Washington, spent $6 million of his own money to make these initiatives possible. He made them possible, but voters made them viable. He could not, no matter how much money he spent, buy his way onto the ballot via initiative. He had to get enough people to believe in what he was doing to make that happen. These six initiatives represent more than 2.6 million signatures that belong to more than 800,000 unique voters in our state. Think about that. 800,000 voters. They can't even chalk that up to Republicans coming out and being the only ones to sign these things. I don't even think there are 800,000 Republicans in Washington state. So it is a false flag to do what they do best and what has been effective for them over the years. To fearmonger by saying, oh, this is about a rich white guy. And you're going to hear that drumbeat over and over and over for the next 9 to 10 months. Meanwhile, at least I'll give Republicans, because I say, you know, lawmakers, I want to make clear who is obstructing this. It is Democrats in the majority. If they wanted to give these initiatives hearings, they could do it today. Meanwhile, Republicans have taken to the floor for all six initiatives and tried to push through a motion that would refer these initiatives to committee. And every single time, those motions have been blocked along party lines.
Article 2, Section 1A of the state constitution has the phrase that initiatives to the legislature shall take precedence over all other measures before the legislature other than budget bills.
Mr. Speaker, there are 38 yeas, 58 nays, 2 excused.
The motion is not adopted.
Directing the chairs to these priorities of the Constitution are now necessary since the legislature has made other policies priority for hearings, such as a bill allowing pedophiles, rapists, and murderers to hold office, be jurors. I urge a yes vote for the suspension of rules, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, there are 39 yeas, 58 nays, 1 excused.
The motion is not adopted.
In my view, waiting until the last minute to decide whether a hearing should be scheduled for this initiative from the people, if at all, is inconsistent with the constitutional mandate to extend precedence. Mr. Speaker, the people of the great state of Washington have spoken, and they expect us to listen.
Mr. Speaker, there are 37 yeas, 59 nays, 2 excused.
The motion is not adopted.
You tell me which side values the voice of voters. A statistic I think is really important here, and my anger in this, honestly, it doesn't even have anything to do with the fact that I support the initiatives, that I support the agenda of the initiatives, that I think we're overtaxed, that I think our communities are unsafe, that I think the government believes it can parent better than parents can. Yes, I support the initiatives, but it's bigger than that. Our initiative process is absolutely sacred. We've talked on this show, some of the protections and some of the things that Democrats value the most and lift up the most, like our abortion rights in this state, codified by initiative. Gun laws in 2018, codified by initiative. They'll celebrate any aspect of democracy as long as that aspect of democracy isn't going after something they support, something they liked. You have to go back 20 years in this state, 20 years to 2004, to find an initiative to the legislature that was not given a hearing. 20 years. Every initiative to the legislature since then, whether they ultimately passed it or not, has been given a hearing. And that is because our state constitution is clear that initiatives to the legislature shall be given priority. Shall. And yet we have six this year that are not. We're not asking, I'm not asking, and I have zero expectation that the majority party will sign these initiatives or pass these initiatives so the governor can sign them into law. Of course they're not going to. They repeal some of their key policy victories. But that doesn't mean that they can't have hearings and at least let some of the average everyday citizens who showed up to sign these things explain to them why their policies are crushing them, why their policies are hurting them. It's those voters who Democrats, by blocking hearings, are saying that they don't want to hear from. They don't care about their opinions. It's much easier to blame it on one rich white guy and his whims and his desires than to face the reality that your policies are hurting working class people in this state. That's pretty shameful to me. It's also utterly shameful that you have people like Shasti Conrad, the chair of the Washington State Republican Party, who continues to hold up Washington State Democrats as this protector of democracy. You know, she was on Twitter just last night responding to an accusation from the Stranger, a far left blog, that Republicans want fewer people to turn out to vote. Shasti Conrad says, what a take. Wash Dems, we think that the more people who participate in voting, the better for democracy. You think that unless it's people who are signing these initiatives, which you actively promoted a snitch line for, so people would call and report the location of signature gatherers so you could send out your minions to harass them. Tell me again, Shasti Conrad, why you believe that more people participating in our democracy is for the best. How incredibly hypocritical of you. And we see right through it. And the truth is that these Democrats don't want to acknowledge, because if they're sitting in a committee hearing and they have regular citizens in front of them who aren't some rich white guy who talk about how their taxes are hurting them, how they have to decide between putting a gallon of gas in their car or buying groceries that day for their kids. Because when they're hit with that, their lies won't stick anymore. And they know it. They know that they dug too deep. They know that they took too much money. And they know that even Washingtonians who didn't otherwise pay attention to what happens in Olympia are now wide awake. And they are terrified. And they should be. We don't need you to pass these initiatives. It would be nice if you did. It'd save us a lot of time and energy. We don't need you to pass the initiatives because we're confident that in November, voters will pass the initiatives. And they'll tell you exactly how they feel about these policies. So go ahead and ignore them, but you do it at your own peril. And you do it in a way that is destructive to the initiative process, which both Democrats and Republicans have turned to push through policies that they support. If you want the initiative to process to go away, then say so. Say so. Own it. Say that you are the majority party, you're in control of the House and the Senate and the governor's office, you believe it will always be that way, and you can do what you want. 800,000 voters be damned. Say it and let's move on with our lives. But in the meantime, we are going to do what we can to urge lawmakers to do the very least that the Constitution demands of them, and that is to give these initiatives a hearing. We will be outside the state capitol today on the North Steps at 3:30 p.m. And we will be urging lawmakers to give all six of the Let's Go Washington initiatives a hearing. They owe the people of Washington at least that. And I invite Republicans and Democrats alike to join us. I invite you to come out to hear what people have to say, to see the people, to talk to the people who are gathered today. Ask them why they support the initiatives. Ask them why they don't support the initiatives. And in fact, I hope that if any of these initiatives get a hearing, that people who are opposed to them, citizens who are opposed to them, will also sign up to testify, because that is the wonderful part of our process. We don't need to live in an echo chamber. I don't want Democrats on these committees to hear only one side of this story. I want them to hear everyone's perspectives. And I want them to help them make better decisions moving forward. Now, there was a media availability that Democrats held. I believe it was yesterday or the day before. And there was a lot of wild stuff said it, but the initiatives were certainly among the top things that reporters in the room were asking about, and I do appreciate that. But I want to play for you today in this short show that we have a couple things that really stood out to me. And I think it's the ease with which they lie about these initiatives, about how they came to be, about what they would do to the state of Washington. It's the ease with which they lie that really stuns me. And either that's just their personality, like they're just liars and they do that, or they know that if they say it, it will go out there without any criticality, and any voters who happen to hear it will just automatically believe it. I have to say, one of the most stunning lies, misrepresentations, I think would be the most generous label I could give to this, came from State Senator Maka Dingra, and I would note that she wants to be the Attorney General. I, for one, don't want an attorney general who can lie with ease to the people of Washington State. I want you to listen to what she said would happen to the state of Washington if these initiatives somehow become law.
The state of Washington is at risk with these initiatives, and we will be taken backwards by decades on the great policy that we have actually made such great improvements on.
We will be taken back decades. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. And I'll tell you why. With each of these initiatives, nothing that these initiatives seek to do or repeal reflect taking Washington State back decades. Initiative 2113, it would scale back the police pursuit restrictions that took effect in July of 2021. So just a couple years ago. Is that taking us back decades? No. Initiative 2017, it would repeal the carbon pricing system that only started collecting revenue 1 year ago. You haven't even figured out how you're going to spend that money yet. How can it be taking us back decades if you lose it? Initiative 2124, it would make the long-term care tax optional for those who want to invest in the program. A program that hasn't even been fully implemented yet because you just started taking money out of people's paychecks in July. So how could it be taking us back decades if we make a program optional that hasn't even fully took effect yet? Initiative 2109 would repeal the capital gains tax, which only started collecting revenue last year. How does it take us back decades if we reverse a tax that only started collecting revenue last year? And again, revenue that you don't even fully know how you're going to spend yet. Initiative 2111, it would further protect us against the possibility of a state income tax or an income tax at the municipal or county level, which right now isn't even a thing in Washington State. So how would passing that take us back decades? And finally, Initiative 2081, it designates parents as the primary stakeholder in their child's life. It does not reverse any existing law in Washington State. It seeks to impact future laws in Washington State. How does that take us back decades? It doesn't. That's a lie. It's a lie from a person who wants to be the next Attorney General of Washington State, and that is shameful. And when they say that these initiatives are going to repeal progress, the state's progress, that's true if your definition of progress is directly tied to how much money you're taking from people. If that's your idea of progress, then yeah, we've made a hell of a lot of progress in the past few years in Washington State. But if you're talking about progress, real progress, where life is better for more people in our state, there is not one single soul in the state of Washington who has an ounce of independent thought who believes that. This state is not better off when it comes to the cost of living, when it comes to the divide between rich and poor. It is not better off when it comes to homelessness or crime or substance abuse. It is far, far worse off. So either you have a sick and twisted definition of progress, or you're just a bunch of liars. And I actually think both of those things can be true. Shameful. Again, the lies with ease. And unfortunately, a lot of members of the media who aren't in this position that we are to be able to speak the truth about those lies. I'm going to play some more clips from this particular media availability in a moment. We do have to pay the bills, though. So I've been talking about the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Everyone needs insurance, right? You've got home insurance, you've got motor vehicle insurance, maybe you have life insurance. Do you deal with all that on your own? Because you don't have to. You could go to someone like First Mark Insurance, a local company. They've been doing this for a long time, and they can handle all of your insurance needs for you. And the best part is, you never paid them a dime. Mike and I have been members of the First Mark family for almost a year. It's a really good time to have an insurance broker in your corner. Dave Taylor is the CEO of First Mark, and he says that he has a lot of clients and maybe new clients who are coming to them saying, man, my insurance carrier dropped me for nothing.
We could have a client come to us today that maybe just had a comp loss. So like a windshield loss.
Sure.
Right? Just a little ding in your windshield. And they come in and we don't have a carrier that will take them.
For a ding in their windshield.
Right, for a ding in the windshield, right? And this is changing, right? So we have some carriers that are starting to loosen up already, but it's just, I'm just saying, there's never been a better time to be a broker where because you need multiple carriers to find solutions for your clients these days. You can't just have one carrier because they might not want your client.
Yeah, so there's really no downside to just taking the First Mark challenge. It'll take you about an hour of your time. You can do it virtually, go over your current insurance, talk to them about your insurance needs. Maybe you need more insurance. Maybe like Mike and I, you're melding a family together and you need to reassess, or maybe you do need to save money. So take the First Mark challenge today, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Find out how much money they can save you and how much time in the long run they can save you by not having to manage all your insurance needs on your own, and you never pay him a dime. No brainer. Okay, let's get back to this Democratic press briefing. So it's pretty common that both Republicans and Democrats, they'll hold individual media availabilities every week where the leaders from the Republican side, the leaders from the Democratic side come together and they take questions from whatever media is actually left in Washington State, which is fewer and fewer. Man, I watched some of these and there's like three people there to ask questions, sometimes fewer, which is a scary thing. But there was a Carlene Johnson, who used to be with Como News Radio. She's now with the Center Square. So she showed up, and this was around the topic of the initiatives. And remember, one of the initiatives has to do with parental rights. And it basically says that, hey, parents are the primary stakeholders in their kids' lives, and we don't want to undo some of the medical freedoms that have been passed, but we do think that parents have a right to know. Parents have a right to know that, hey, you know, my child is dealing with a severe mental health issue. They've talked to a teacher at school about it. My child wants gender reassignment surgery, and they're talking to a teacher or a counselor at school about it. Because how do you expect, you know, a family member and a child to have a healthy, positive relationship if the school is hiding huge things like that from them? It would also have to do with increasing transparency around lessons at school. You know, we've done so many stories where parents are blindsided by something their kid was taught in school and was like, hey, don't I have a right to be told about this stuff? So anyway, Carlene Johnson, bless her heart, because she stayed on this like a dog on a bone. She asked them a simple question about what tends to be the biggest concern of parents when it comes to parental rights and education and medical care. And that is that you're going to have a child who wants to make physical changes to their body or take hormone therapy, and they're going to find ways to do that, and the parents are never going to be told about that. So Carlene Johnson attempts to ask a simple question of State Senator Emily Randall, and that is, do you support children having, you know, surgical interventions without a parent being notified? Here's what she said.
It's to the point when that young person has made a decision to move forward with, you know, hormones or whatever. At that point, when there's going to be a physical alteration to a child without parental notification, do you support that?
So I don't think it's clear yet that that is what this initiative does or doesn't do.
It would require parents to be notified.
I think, yeah, so, I mean, we have worked really hard to make protections for young people and individuals seeking healthcare that is personal to them. Best case scenario is that young people can have those conversations with their parents and that it's safe for them to do that. But we know that it's not always. That's why we've passed conversion therapy bans and other protections, because not every time, not in every family, is a parent a safe person for a young person to make those health care decisions with. I hope that every young person grows up in a family where it is.
Yeah, so you're not answering the question. The question is, do you, Senator Emily Randall, believe, absent any existing laws that we have in Washington State, that a child should be able to undergo, for example, hormone therapy, which will change the trajectory of their lives, without parental consent? So again, bless Carlene Johnson for trying again.
She would support the school or a medical facility or whatever beginning to alter that child's body without the parent being notified.
So what usually happens, what is best practices in medicine, is for gender-affirming care not to be first altering someone's body, but to be using the right gender pronouns, to be calling a patient by a child by their preferred name. That's the first step in gender affirming care. And all of the opposition that I hear is leaping to the many steps down the road after that has happened, after students have been able to do that. It's worrying about hormones and surgeries. And those are later steps in the process. Those are not the first. No doctor is as making the recommendation that that be the very first thing that a young person...
No, that's not what my question was. Say, let's say we're at point 10 then. Would you support still the parents not being in the loop?
So I'll just jump in and say, we're not changing age of consent. We're not changing HIPAA laws. And neither are we addressing best practices or standard of care for medicine.
Did not answer the question. Carlene Johnson's question had nothing to do with existing law, what they're trying to change or not change. She's asking them a simple question. You know, it didn't have to do, you see, you notice how she asks about, the more severe possible outcomes. If you're a mature minor getting some sort of actual surgery because a doctor has deemed you a mature minor, or even if you're not deemed a mature minor, getting hormone therapy, which they're teaching kids in Olympia School District about, like, in the fourth grade about puberty blockers. So they, you know, Emily Randall wants to say, well, you know, usually it's about gender pronouns. Yeah, but that's not what we're asking about. You want to ignore what the worst implications of some of your policies can be and say, well, it's just about gender pronouns. It's not, though. She couldn't answer the question. Monica Dhingra couldn't answer the question. And so what did Senator Monica Dhingra do? Well, she went back to their tried and true tactic, trying to shut up people like Carlene Johnson, trying to shut up people like you and I who are asking legitimate questions about these things by painting us as horrible people who, if we're opposed to these things, if we don't agree with them, we just want children to die.
What we're talking about, and I think everyone has to really acknowledge the real problem here in the number of runaway kids that are LGBTQI. That is an alarming number. And that tells you there's a problem in this society that needs addressing. The number of LGBTQI kids that are committing suicides should be a concern for all of us. So a lot of it is, how do you protect the health and well-being of our children? How do you make sure they survive into adulthood?
Did not answer the question. Why won't they answer the question? If they believe that minors, which I know a lot of them do because they voted for stuff like this, if they believe that minors should be able to, even if it's an avenue that they pursue at school through a counselor, get a reference, do they believe that minors should be able to pursue gender hormone therapy and even surgical interventions and to go through with them without parental consent? That was the question that was asked repeatedly and that they repeatedly refused to answer. Why? Why? If you believe that, if you think that's the right thing to do, you should be able to sit there proudly and answer that question with one word, yes. But you cannot do it. And that speaks volumes. All right, we'll get to our segment Unbelievable next. A familiar face has decided to run for Congress. Ooh, it's a doozy of a segment today. But first, we've been talking to our friend Wes Jones with sellwithwes.com. And in fact, if it hasn't happened already, the Fed is meeting today to decide whether to cut interest rates. I don't think they're going to. I think they're going to hold off until maybe March. But it's a good time for home sellers to get ready, for interest rate cuts and to have your home ready to hit the market when that happens, because Wes says he does expect, even if it's not today, for interest rates to go down in 2024 and for the market to heat up.
Where do you think interest rates need to be at to really get the market back up and humming again?
I think if we get into the high fives, that is going to be a real breakthrough. You know, we got, when we were at 7 and now into the high sixes, that brought in another section of buyers. And if we get that into the low sixes or high fives, I think things will really start to move again. And, you know, we're already seeing multiple offers in a lot of different price points and, you know, different cities. It's just, it's going to make housing more affordable, and it's going to bring more buyers out into the market again. What's that going to do? It's going to push the prices back up. So one of the things that I do see happening, or could see happening in 2024, is all of the gains that we lost in 2022, I think there's a really good chance we make those up in 2024.
Yeah, so when that happens, don't be the home seller that's sitting around twiddling your thumbs and then trying to play catch up. Reach out to our friend Wes Jones, sellwithwes.com. Heck, reach out to several real estate agents. Talk about what they offer, because I truly believe that Wes Jones has some services that you're not going to find anywhere else. He's going to give you a free market analysis. He can talk to you about their Listing Boost concierge service, where they're going to come in, make any cosmetic upgrades to your home that you might need. They can even pay for it up front and completely manage those projects and take it off your hands. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. Sellwithwes.com. Start by using their home value calculator to see how much your home is worth. It might be worth more than you think. Sellwithwes.com, a better way to sell your home. embattled Linwood City Councilman Josh Binda apparently hasn't had quite enough criticism because he is now mounting a bid for Congress. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Boop. Oh, great. Now I'm going to be called racist again for suggesting that Josh Binda shouldn't run for Congress because he's going to take to his Instagram at, like he does every time he's criticized and say it's about race. No, it's about you being a complete narcissist and having a level of immaturity that doesn't even suit you to be on the Linwood City Council. So this is from our friends at the Linwood Times. They say, breaking news, embattled Linwood Councilman Josh Binda, who claimed under oath in a PDC hearing he doesn't know how to write a check, wants to be your next congressman. Binda will be running as a Democrat against Representative Rick Larson. So a little background on Josh Binda. He's been the subject of recall efforts, and he has been accused, and there's even been some PDC violations, we'll get to more on that in a moment, of using his public office for personal gain. You know, he was doing speeches where he was being paid a lot of money, like, I need to charge more for my speaking engagements, to speak to students. And so he definitely has this, like, business that's built around speaking to kids. And he shot some videos for that at the council chambers as an example, which is completely inappropriate. And speaking of inappropriate, he's over on his Instagram account talking about how he, like, talks to kids in school, and he's posting shirtless, like, weird sexually suggestive images, which is just strange. Like, you're appealing, you're trying to talk about speaking to kids in schools, and you're doing some weird shirtless, it's a lot. And then, as the Linwood Times pointed out, so he gets this PDC violation and he wasn't paying it. And so then he had this meeting with the PDC, and his excuse for not paying it is at, like, what is he, like 22 or something? It's something like that. That he didn't even know how to write a check. Here is the clip from that PDC meeting.
Well, I have access to, but I mean, this might sound young to me. I've never written a check or done a check before. I don't have a checkbook or any of that sorts. So the whole checking process is fairly new to me.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because I don't doubt that young people, there's a lot of young people who would have no idea how to write a check if they had not been taught. However, you do have Google, and clearly you're a big internet guy. I think you could have found out pretty quickly how to write a check. You also could have contacted the PDC and said, hey, I need to pay this fine. I don't want to be late. I don't know how to write a check. Can you help me, or is there another way I could pay? But instead, he just ignored it. And his excuse, I don't know how to write a check, but you want to be a member of Congress? And then I think more seriously than that, but it also probably speaks to why he's running for Congress, is a level of narcissism and immaturity. And this is something that Democratic State Senator John Lovick actually discussed on this show. So he represents that area. And he had been supportive of Josh Binda when he wanted to get into politics as a young man, but he simply refused to listen to, and John Lovick's been around in political circles in our state for years. He simply refused to listen to any of Senator Lovick's advice. And Senator Lovick said on this show a few months back that he thought that Josh Binda should resign.
What I found is that he was not going to listen. I advised him he should take the lollipop out of his mouth when he's in front of a hearing. I told him he should dress appropriately. And it was very, very clear to me that he was not going to listen. And I one thing I told him is, I said, a line that I used as a state trooper, confidence starts with appearance. I said, people see you. I don't care what you know or don't know. If they see that your appearance is great, if you dress sharp, I said, that just changes sometimes their perspective. And I found that he wasn't listening. Mm. And to be honest with you, I'm totally embarrassed with the guy.
We are too. We are too. But now he can go out there and make his pitch to voters as to why he should represent them in Congress. And I'm sure that he will do it with a lollipop in his mouth. All right. Before we get to, we're going to dive or skip past national because we've got to get on the road pretty soon. Since we've been talking about these initiatives that are being pushed and sort of, you know, voters being just crushed under the weight of increased taxes. And at the same time, you have Democrats who are always trying to suggest that they're the party of the working class, which I don't know how you can be the party of the working class when you are making working class people suffer in this state. And as usual, my friend Zach Abraham with Bulwark Capital totally agrees with me.
All the people that talk about how the rich guys have the disadvantage, they're the ones that pass all these tax regulations. And they just kill the little guy. That's what smokes them all. We're going to tackle inflation. How do they tackle inflation? All this inflation was caused by excess liquidity, right? They pumped all this money into the system, right? So when the inflation gets out of control, do they drain the liquidity out of the system? No. What do? They raise rates. Well, who does that hurt? It hurts the guy that needs credit. The guy that needs credit isn't the rich guy. So when you keep liquidity pumping into the market, you support asset prices. Well, who owns all the assets? Rich people, right? But you raise rates, which only impacts what? The people that aren't rich.
Yeah.
Even the Federal Reserve. Everything these people do sticks it to the little guy and gives another advantage to the big guy. And what's really crazy is I've lived long enough now in my life cycle. The Democrats of old didn't used to be this way.
Shocking level of common sense. Shocking level of common sense. Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital, they specialize in helping you protect your retirement, even protect it, yes, against the Democrats in Washington State who want to make you dirt poor before you reach retirement. So with a lot of factors this year, the election looming, global unrest, rising cost of living, market fluctuations, make sure that you're properly managing your risk in 2024. That's why I suggest having a free Know Your Risk portfolio review with Zach Abraham, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Bulwark's Know Your Risk portfolio review is a great way to see if you're overexposed to risk, which you simply cannot afford to do. You only get one retirement. You do not want to put it at risk. So schedule your free risk review now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advisory services offered through Trek Financial, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Investments involve risk and are not guaranteed. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Okay, let's get to some questions and comments. Slow Nomos. Says, kind of disappointing that we have to trudge down to Olympia to insist our voices be heard. Yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing, isn't it? Especially when you're not demanding that they pass them. We know they're not going to pass them. Just sit there in a hearing, I don't know, for a half hour of your lives and hear from Washingtonians about why these initiatives impact them. Is that really so much to ask? And then after that hearing is done, you can say, okay, heard you, but I still don't support them. And that's fine. At least you can say that you listened. Krista M. says, heaven forbid the people have a say in the legislative policies that affect them on every level. And again, we're not talking about like 50 right-wing lunatics who are out there like, you know, trying to push for something. We're talking about 800,000 people who signed on to at least one. Some signed on to multiple of these initiatives. Some, like me, signed on to all six. And dismissing that number, I've never seen an acknowledgement from Democrats of just how many people signed these things. Sally with a $20 super chat for a rally fund. Woo, we can use it for gas going down there. Go, Brandy and Nicole. Wish I could be there today. Suzanne Monson also like got in touch with us, and she's like, hey, can I come down to Olympia with you? So we're meeting Suzanne Monson, we're meeting my husband, and then we're going down there, and I hope to see so many of you. Yeah. Matt Gilbert says, testified this morning against the war on natural gas. Heading to Olympia after this, it's good to unite, even if it's just a reminder that we are not alone. Love it. Julie Hafen was something that we're all thinking. Yes, girl, please do take us back decades. We were able to buy a home at age 22 on one entry-level position income. Our house payment was the same as our apartment rent. We bought three homes during our kids' childhood, all on one low to middle income. Take us back. So these kids can buy a home themselves. They can't even afford to rent an apartment without multiple roommates now. And that is, you know, attributable to so many different things. But I saw that on social media in response to Manka Dhingra saying the initiatives will take us back decades. Like, okay.
Okay.
Like, that's so
give us a negative there.
Yes, please. Yeah. Take us back decades. That would be amazing. Okay, before we get to our closing sanity check, I've been talking about my success on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic plan, which you would not believe how many people thought the bikini picture you showed to me yesterday was actually me in a bikini.
Well, was that's it not precious.
Was it not shockingly obvious that my head was pasted onto it?
I thought it was.
I was foreshadowing that is similar to the bikini picture I bet Nicole that I would post in March around spring break. I had some woman message me and like, I'm very disappointed you felt like you had to show a bikini picture to be relevant. And I was like, well, it was just a joke. It was a Photoshop. I thought I made it obvious. But yeah, I don't. If you notice, my pages are shockingly short on selfies for a woman who's a millennial.
That's because I don't need to rely on those things to be relevant. I've got my noggin right here. But anyway, I am down 37 pounds on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program, and I'm just feeling so much better. I have so much more energy to go do things. Man, I just took a heck of a workout class last night that kicked my you-know-what, and I don't think I would have had the motivation to do that without some of the success that I've seen on the Eastside Weight Loss Clinic program. It's not magic, but if you stick to it, you can lose a lot of weight like I did, almost 30 pounds in just 2 months, and then you can learn how to keep it off for life without any injections or drugs or weight loss shakes or anything like that. So reach out to our friend Dr. Ryan Coogan with EastsideWeightLossClinic.com and schedule a free 15-minute consultation. We can ask him all the questions, no obligation to join, totally free. Try it today. Okay, let's get to our closing sanity check, shall we? And this is an easy one. I want to end the show today where I began, that we have to be the squeaky wheel. I'm not saying that we have to go in downtown Seattle and destroy things and loot businesses and light police cars on fire. I'm not saying that we need to take over six blocks of a city. In fact, I would recommend against that and take over a police precinct. I'm not saying that we have to block a bridge by the university district. I'm not saying that we have to gather together and block a major freeway for 5 to 6 hours so people can't get anywhere and we hold them hostage. I'm not saying we do that, and you guys wouldn't want to do that because we are nothing if not law-abiding citizens. But we deserve to have our voices heard, just like those individuals who do those things. They have been the squeaky wheel for far too long. I know it's more difficult for us to get out there. I know it's more difficult for you in the middle of the day, like Matt Gilbert said, to take time to testify remotely at a hearing. I get it. But that has been the problem. I've witnessed it firsthand. I've been here covering politics for 15 years. The problem has been that a small faction on the far left in this state has had an outsized voice and an outsized influence for too long. But you know what? I'm not mad at them because they did it through action. They did it by showing up. And they did it, yes, by breaking the law and ruining a lot of people's lives, which I certainly blame them for. But they have made a point to make sure that they have a seat at the table, even if they have to steal that table to make it happen. We need to make sure we have a seat at the table as well, because our numbers are far greater than theirs. And the second that we demand a seat at the table is the second that we will be given one and we will be able to improve this wonderful state of ours. So break away from what you're doing this afternoon, I beg of you, and come down, show lawmakers that your voice matters and that you want them and expect them as public servants to listen to you. We will be on the north steps of the Washington State Capitol at 3:30 p.m. today, demanding hearings for these six voter initiatives. And even if you don't support those initiatives, I hope you do support the initiative process and you will stand up for what it means to this state and what it means to have a check for the people on the power of our elected officials. That has been it for today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. Thank you for valuing your own voice in this process and for wanting to make a difference. We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow, and we will see hopefully a lot of you down at the state capitol in just a few hours.